I've told you this so many times, I know you get tired of hearing it. This diagram, number one. Long, long time ago, I looked at this and I said, you're not really positive about how this is going to go until the attack by Israel against Syria occurs. And I felt led to don't put anything in there until you get close enough where you can be as sure of that as you are of this diagram. Now, I'm very certain about this diagram. And it begins when the initial attack by Israel occurs against Syria, and the Antichrist has laid a trap for her, for Israel on the other side. I'm just going to mention to you tonight out here in this blank space, by the time Obama leaves office, or shortly thereafter, the Antichrist will have been, Bashar Assad will have been replaced. Now, I won't tell you that he'll be assassinated, whether he'll get sanctuary by the Soviets, where he will escape by himself over to Iran and be sheltered somewhere. I feel like he'll be assassinated, and they'll blame it on the United States or on Israel. In any case, by the time, during the next administration, I believe by the time Obama leaves office, that he'll be gone, G-O-N-E. He will be replaced by a man who is most likely the Antichrist. I have taught you this for years. And I have always added this qualification because I want to be sure that I don't goof up on this. I will admit it could be someone that replaces him, because there's going to be a lot of chaos going on, and there may be another man that is raised up, that the second man who comes is the Antichrist. I believe it will be the first one. I think that the first Antichrist will arrive during the last part of the next administration. And I believe that by that time, it will have been very evident to the United States and Israel and everybody else that there's no way this mess over there is ever going to get cleaned up until action is taken, serious action, against the 10 Arab toes, which will be in formation. And when that happens, Israel will attack across the Lebanese border. You've heard this before, but I want to reinforce it because I'm going to put this out here pretty soon because I'm that certain of it. After the last encounter they had, Israel almost got driven back. It was very close. But I told people, and I put out blogs, several of them, saying, this is not it. This is not it. And I told them I thought the next time Israel went across, it was going to be quite different. And I watched after the war had been declared as a hudna, as a truce, and it's still a truce. And I waited until that had happened, and I watched to see what the Lebanese and the Syrians were going to do. The Syrians and the Lebanese and the Iranians learned a very valuable lesson. When Israel came across, they came across with their tanks on their flat ground of southern Lebanon, just like they always did. And they had ML5. They had the best tanks. But they came across on level ground, and they just mopped up with the Lebanese and the Syrians till they got to the interior mountains, base of them. They go north-south, but they came up against the southern flank of them, and they were heading south, higher in the mountains. When they did, they had tremendous success against the Israeli tanks. So right after it was all over, I watched to see what they did. because that's what I was trained and taught to do in classes. They immediately withdrew all of their hardcore troops, their excellente troops, back on the northern side of a mountain range that ran east-west. They ran back there because that's where tanks need to be positioned on the opposite side when they come over the mountain, and they can get them in the underbelly. The Soviet tanks, they learned a lesson from the Germans. They put heavy steel on the front of their tanks now. They're heavy steel, and they're getting from the Soviets. And when they come over the top of that mountain, they'll have time to see the exposed part of the tank. Tanks just don't go, they just don't go wriggle like a snake over it. What happens is they go up to a certain height, then the front weighs more than the back, and it goes down. They'll have a chance to get them there. This is common military maneuver. This is not something that's unusual, but most people don't talk much about it because we're not a bunch of people that went to school for that. And so I'm telling you that they've already done it. And I'm positive of it. I know it. I've got sources that are good, and they have. So all I'm waiting for is Bashar Assad to leave, not Bashar Assad, but Obama to leave office, Bashar Assad to be replaced, probably by assassination, but it could be by any other way. And I think the Soviets are going to give in on this, having him replaced, because it will give them a better handle on their power in the Middle East. Now, once Israel attacks, they're going to be very surprised, because there's a Palmyra Valley. It's deep. It's a long, deep valley. It has many different mountain ranges. It goes from northeast. It goes from the northeast, further on out, from where did we go up on that, on Mount Hermon? And I've taken them up out there several times to see it. And you can look across there, and you can see the mountains all coming in like this. And to pick up stuff, you need to have a mountain range where it isn't blocking, where they can get over it, and they can see right down in the valley. So I noticed that the United States has since that time sent a great number over there, but they're still going to be able to conceal them, I believe, at night. In any case, they'll all be positioned, and Israel won't be aware of it in Syria. They'll come down through that valley. Valleys, and when Israel attacks, they're going to come on them like a duck on a June bug. And Israel is going to suffer what you see right here on this diagram. This diagram is based on numerous scriptures, and that's one reason I wanted to be sure to go through it while we were still here, because when it starts happening, then you'll know this thing it's here. But I'm waiting until Israel attacks before I'll absolutely say I know what's happening, that this is going to happen. I believe it's going to happen, and when the attack occurs, you're going to see these events. Now, this was in 2011. It is very important to know rapture and Second Advent differences. The event sequence from the Islamic attack to Jesus' Second Advent, event one. The Islamic Antichrist attacks Israel from the north 135 days before the Second Advent. That explains what Daniel wrote in the last chapter of the book. But the attack is listed in the 11th chapter of Daniel. And in the 11th chapter of Daniel, it lists the attack. It is the first thing that happens in the 11th chapter. Now, if this seems too perfect for you, where it just lays it out, I make no apologies, because I think the Lord laid that out in a very positive way. But I don't think he really wanted us to know a whole lot about it till the end. And I think many have run to and fro, and knowledge has been increased, and that's the reason I do this. He shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. We'll talk about those countries in just a few minutes. Zechariah 13:8, and it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die. That means cut off and die. It means that two-thirds is going to die. Cut off. That's what that cut off means. but the third shall be left therein. I was taught when I was young, and I was severely criticized for it by some preachers, when I taught that the actual, what we call Ken, I'm going crazy. What we identify as the place that Israel will flee to, the Negev wilderness. And the woman fled into the Negev, where she has a place prepared of God that they should feed her 1,260 days. That is precisely where Moab was located when this was written, where Jordan was located when this was written, and where Edom was, where we were written. You can take, they cut it out of a map, Moab, Ammon, Moab, and Edom, and you can lay it over Israel, over Jordan today. It's a perfect fit. I don't mean, you know, a good fit. It's perfect. It goes out like this in Ammon. Then it cuts down like this in Jordan. Not Jordan. I always call it Jordan, but it is Jordan today. It's Ammon, Moab, and Edom. Three separate countries at the time this was written. Today it is one country, and you cut it out. Try it yourself. Look at the Bible references. That's exactly where it is. So what's going to happen when he gets up there? I bet I tried to figure that out for years. But I stuck to it and told him it could not possibly, Negev, it could not possibly be the Negev. Because the Negev is not a part of Jordan. It is not a part of it is not a part. I'm getting old. My mind's just going, but I'm doing the best I can. And it is not a part of Saudi Arabia, and it is not a part of the Gaza Strip. It's not a part of any of those. You know what that therein means? There inside Israel. Read it for yourself. Now, I don't base what I believe on what other preachers get from other preachers and pass down, and it's wrong. Why on earth would they go over and settle in Jordan when Jordan is going to be pushed down into the Sinai? They hate the Jordanese, all these nations. And so it's going to be Petra. That's exactly where it's going to be. Well, when you come out and you put out something like that, people think you're trying to gain attention and recognition and you're just a rebel. I'm not. I got a temper, but by the grace of God, my temper is a lot better and he controls it a lot better. I let him, but if he didn't do it, it wouldn't be controlled. Event 2. Some 30 days after the initial attack, the two witnesses will begin their testimony in Jerusalem and later continue it in the Negev wilderness until the seventh trumpet. They will be caught up immediately before the 144,000, and all the saved are caught up on the last trump. Go over there and look at that 11th chapter. Just go over there and look at it. Here we are, 11th chapter. Two witnesses getting ready for a boom, boom. They go up. There's a pause. Within the same hour, the rest of the saved go up. And it's boom, boom, boom. And it's just like that. It's quick. You say, well, how many preachers did you ever hear of that taught that? They didn't. Why not? They're basing what they believe on what preachers taught that didn't know their latus rectum from a hole in the ground. And a latus rectum is a geometrical function. You say, well, you're elevating yourself. No, I'm not Donald Trump. I don't elevate myself, but I'm telling you, God made this plain. Why didn't they just go along with what was already there? Why did they have to come up all these with these fancy things and teach them to other preachers? Why did they do that? Attention, recognition, praise, being different. Guilty. But I changed. How can you ever expect to learn anything in prophecy, the Bible, in school, or anywhere else, if you don't study? You say, well, I've got it all mastered. Yeah, that's what they think when they got out of some of these seminaries. They think, this is it. Well, tell me why. How come there's so much difference between missionary Baptist preachers? I'm sorry. I'm not mad at them. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm just trying to tell people the truth, and I'm trying to put a little force and impetus behind it. I want you to believe this. Boy, think what's going to happen if I'm wrong. You're going to get off the hook. But I won't. He says, they will be caught up immediately after the 144,000 and all the saved are caught up on the last trump. They're all in heaven for the first time. Revelation 11, 2 and 3. But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they trod underfoot for 42 months. Guess what's going to happen? They're going to have a hoodna. You've got it on that chart. I put that on a chart years ago. You got it on that chart where it shows a hoodna. They'll declare a hoodna. What happened the first time Israel went into Lebanon? They just tore them up. And all the Arabs started hollering, hoodna, hoodna, help, help. And all the United Nations and all of them got together and said, let's give them a hoodna, let's give them a hoodna. And Israel accepted it. And that stopped that. It was all over. It was an uprising. Israeli. How many have they had? Four. Boy, it was awful tempting on that last one to think it was a bad one. But I thought, no, I said, Israel is better. I said, Israel is so sure of themselves that they're going to be in serious trouble. So I put a blog out and I said, it is not going to happen now. Suppose what would have happened if I hadn't put that out, if I had just decided to wait. Why do preachers do what they do? That's their own personal inner motivation. But I don't want anybody to think that what I have gotten from the Word of God and by the leadership of God's Holy Spirit. I don't want anybody to think that. But on the other hand, I don't want them to think I'm infallible. It's very important to me for people not to be able to say, Tom McElmurray's wrong. They may tell you on the street. They may tell you when you visit the church. Their pastor may say he's wrong. But here I am a lot like Donald Trump. No, they're wrong. And I don't have to tell you what's wrong in Washington. But what's happening in our work is that people are waiting for Jesus to come at the first of the week. And they're going to be sadly disappointed. And how do you think they're going to feel? Absolutely rejected. Well, we heard all this. They swore up and down. It was in our books. I'm sorry, the first week position is absolutely wrong. And I don't dare not tell people that. Now, he said, the 42 months, if you look on that diagram, is the hoodna. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. Some 45 days after Jerusalem falls and the Israelis withdraw south to Beersheba, the UN, US, UN, France, Germany, Russia, China, PDQ, FOB, CID, CCC, IOU, WPA. A truce, hoodna, between Islam and Negev, Israel. You say, well, why do you say, what a precedent. I've got four times they did it before. Same thing's going to happen. But this time, Israel is going to be pushed down there and they're going to be completely surrounded and they're going to be down there for 1,260 days and the Antichrist is not going to shell them. We're not going to help them except to airlift stuff in. The Antichrist is going to be one smart dude. He's not going to be like these local yokels over there now that are in charge that don't know well, never mind. In any case, the truth is, the man who's, he'll let us airlift stuff into him. Food, clothing, shelter. Just no weapons. You say, good grief, how do you know all that? I had military training in this. Think back. Did the Soviets attack us when we washed the airlift into them? No, no, no. The Antichrist wants to rule all of Eurasia, all of Asia, and all of Europe. You say, well, what would happen if he got them all? Well, he'd come right on over here. I don't think he's coming over here. But I think he's going to have awful strong influence on our leaders over here. And I think we're going to be heavily persecuted for being Christians. And I think we're going to get some mighty big earthquakes out on the San Andreas Fault, in the New Madrid Fault, all through the Rocky Mountains. And it's coming. Will they be as bad as they are over there? No. The volcanic eruptions will be, but they're going to be everywhere. Do you know there are thousands and thousands of seamounts on the ocean floor? What's a seamount? It's a volcano that didn't quite reach the surface, but nevertheless, they put out lava, they put out magma. They didn't quite make the surface. You're going to see the oceans light up. You're going to see them turn a blood red. You're going to see what John saw and said, suddenly he beheld a great mountain in the sea burning with fire. I guarantee you there's going to be thousands of them. And I guarantee you this is going to be something that's far worse than you ever imagined from what I said before. This period of peace and safety will last for 3+ years. It won't make it quite to, I'm being very exacting here. It won't make it quite to 1,335 days, because the 1,335 days were fulfilled already. And all that's left is 1,185. The Antichrist will conquer Egypt and establish his caliphate capital at Cairo. One of the things that I found very interesting, and I don't have to go to great explanation on this. God made the Bible very simple. But quite frankly, what I've spent most of my ministry doing is untangling what other preachers taught about prophecy. You say, you must feel you're superior than them. No, I am not. I'm a little nobody that came out of the boondocks that everybody used to run to the back room when somebody knocked on the door. God had to change me completely. Well, he's working on it. Maybe when I'll never be like him. But at least maybe I keep on doing a little bit better if I submit my will and my life to him. But I've got a purpose in life, and when it's over, God will take me home, and I'm ready whenever he is. Now, do you know over there, look it up for yourself. Don't just trust me. Get you out of Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. Look up the word that is translated escape in the Greek language. Look it up. It's used in the one where it talks about when it goes past when it goes down. And I've tried to explain here for 43 years why the Antichrist bypassed Jordan when he went down. He didn't attack them. I mean, it's clear. It's just as clear as light. He didn't attack them. And I had several different reasons. They were all pretty good, I thought. But finally, I looked at that word for escaped. And it means to drive out. To drive out. That's it. So, what do I believe? What did I believe when I saw it? I said, he's going to drive them out into the Negev. I'm positive of it. That's why they evacuate before he ever comes in there. You say, well, they're why would they do that? They're Shemites. They have a very close alliance with Israel. And they know they're going to get killed if they don't have a buddy, and Israel is their buddy. Well, what about Egypt? Same word, but it says, they shall not escape. Same word. The word used means surrounded. He's going to completely surround them. How do I know? That's what it says in the language. Well, where does that leave me? Well, he will establish his caliphate capital at Cairo. You know, it's been there before many times. Listen, I'm not putting out some new-handed stuff that came out of the boonies. This stuff, old preachers knew this. They didn't have seminaries. They didn't have Zip. But they had people like Strong that made the Strong Concordance and others. And they looked up all these words, and those men probably went blind trying to do it. They really wanted to know the truth. They didn't want to put out a lot of effort. And that's why he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's why he did it. What's he going to use that 3+ years for? To establish a gigantic caliphate. You say, boy, no, it'll take more than that. They're scared to death of him. They'll be scared to death of him over there. They're scared to death. I tell you who's scared of him right now. Egypt, Jordan, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia. They're scared to death of him. And when he starts down there and he sops them up, they're all going to say, we're your buddies, Allah, Allah, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar. And they'll join anybody to save their lives. Isn't that a perfect human trait? You say, well, you sound like you got this all figured out. I've only got it figured out because God showed me. And God showed me from his word. He didn't whisper in my ear. I don't feel like I'm inspired. I don't feel like God suddenly said, I'm going to inspire Tom and he can speak without error. Lord, in mercy, somebody like me speaking without error, with the carnal nature I got, I couldn't go 20 minutes. Oh, well. He says, Revelation 17, 12, and 17 are, of course, the same as the 10 toes in Daniel chapter 2. So let's look at Daniel chapter 2. And the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. That describes those countries over there. Kuwait couldn't whip my grandmother. And some of those nations over there are broken, and all they got to do is just walk. They do just like Hitler did. Walk in, and they'll be saying, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar. And they'll be proclaiming their loyalty to the Antichrist. That's all they got to do. And they'll do it before they ever get there, and they'll hand them flowers. Kill a few Israeli bodies and lay them out in the city if there are any left. He says, whereas thou sawest iron mixed with merry clay, they shall mingle together with the seed of men. Did you ever notice that the Jews kept their identity? They're only starting to break it down now. When they came over to this country and they started settling up in New York and across the country, then those Israeli girls started noticing, hey, these Gentile men aren't half bad looking. And the Gentile men said, boy, look at those beautiful black-haired women. I know a guy over there has been, you know the guy we went over there with that wanted a black-haired Israeli girl? I'll admit there's some pretty ones over there. First time I ever went over there, I didn't tell Imogene about them. Boy, I tell you what, they were beautiful. And so pretty soon, but the Israelis held the line. They held the line. Now, I'm not praising Israel. Israel is in unbelief. And they're out of God's fellowship. But they have stuck to trying to keep the law. Maybe when this all happens, they'll realize they were wrong. The law will change them. And we are responsible for the law being kept in us. Jesus keeps it in us. We don't. He does. And he stays in us. So, the seed of men here refer to intermixing the races. Israel, you're a Jew, you stay a Jew. You say, that's not racial prejudice. That's what God said. That's what God told them. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, what would you do if you found a Christian Jewish girl, missionary Baptist, let's really complete the case, and a missionary Baptist young man? I'd marry him in a minute. You say, why? I'm not under the law. They're not under the law. But Jews are still under the law, and God wanted to maintain that race. You say, why would he want to do that? He wanted to bring a remnant through. You go through the Bible and you look up that word remnant. That's what God did. You say, well, God works in many strange and mysterious ways. So I'm not under the law. You say, well, God knew they wouldn't come out from under the law. Amen. You figured it all out. God knew that. So he brought some of them through. And he's going to preserve a remnant. And that's where the 144,000 are going to come from. He says, so if iron mixed with mere clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. But they shall not cleave one to another. Now, notice. Even as iron is not mixed with clay. He says, they can't hold together. They can't hold together. I thought about giving a demonstration sometime, getting me an iron pipe and putting some good glue on, good clay, good adhesive type clay, and put on there and wetting it up. This was back when I was crazy, when I was young, coming up here and dropping volcanic rocks on the floor and having to repair them. And putting that on there and say, now, let's let it harden. And let's just put it outside and where it'd be in the sun and under a shelter. And then let's see how easy it comes off. Well, it does not come off hard. You have to really clank it. You have to hit it with a hammer. But the first time something goes wrong and it gets wet, slide right off. Did you know that clay was a metal? That's what the geologists put it on a periodic chemistry chart, certain types of clay. He says, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. You say, now, wait a minute, the millennial kingdom is going to be destroyed by fire. But you can't destroy a spiritual kingdom, can you? And the millennial kingdom is a physical kingdom where we come back as spiritual people. And we're on it, and we see those people. But they don't see us. You say, well, I can't believe that. Well, just look around the room here, and then maybe God will give you some supernatural eyes that you can see that you're surrounded by angels. And it would scare the pants off of you. Because some of them are fallen angels, and they look just like those creatures from the bottomless pit. I don't understand all that, but they're here. They're there. God's angels are here. God's angels watch over us. They minister to us. So you say, well, Brother Michael Murray, I never heard all this stuff before. Listen, I heard this when I was young. And Fred Stevenson is the one that we were sitting in class one day, and he always tried to make us think. Fred Stevenson was one of the greatest scholars that ever lived in the languages. And he said, well, boys, he said, what makes you think that they're going to be able to see us in the millennial reign? Not a hand went up. And I went home and I got to looking. It ain't in there. And why did the Witch of Endor have to appear, you know? There's a kingdom just on the other side of us. They can see us, but we can't see them. You say, why not? God doesn't want us to see them. We couldn't live a very happy life here if we could see some of these fallen angels. I've had many people ask me, Brother McElmurray, what about those creatures from the bottomless pit, the Abyssu Friatos? Hecles tu Friatos tes Abyssu. What about them? They're fallen angels. You say, which? Well, they're the devil's angels. Well, no, they're the devil's angels, all right, but they came out of a different kingdom. There are three realms of angels. They're the angels of Michael, which are more powerful. They were created to destroy. And they love, but they also destroy. God loves, and he also destroys. And then there's the other realm of Gabriel. And Gabriel's realm is one, the little girl went around behind Paul and went around behind Cyrus. And they She kept going around after them saying, "These are the servants of the Most High God. Hear ye them." She didn't just do it once. Over and over and over again, day after day. "These are the servants of the Most High God. Hear ye them." And finally, Paul just got around and cast it out. It was a fallen angel in her, a demon. But that's what he was supposed to do. The angels are messenger angels. The angels of Michael are the strongest of all. And the devil was put over the earth. And Adam lost the... God has to do things right. He's built that way. I don't mean any disrespect, Lord, but that's just the way he is. And he has to do it right. You and I don't even know how to do it right until he gets inside us, and then half the time we don't pay any attention to him. Guilty. But the truth is, I'm getting down to the bottom of this page, and it says, "And in those days, a kingdom which shall never be destroyed." You see, God sets his kingdom down on this earth, and when he takes us up, we go up at the end of the millennial reign. He creates a new heaven and a new earth for us to... But it's the same one. It's the one we're already in. And up we go, but the physical part stays behind and is burned. And forever we will be in a spiritual kingdom, if you can picture that. Am I certain of it? Yes, I am. You say, "Well, I bet you've been wrong before." I bet I have, but I don't think I'm going to be wrong this time. And I sure haven't violated any scriptures. And I promised Terry that I would get through, because we're going to go over and get me one of those cushions you sit on. And now, there's that grin again. I mean one of the seat cushions I sit on. I love those girls. Lord, I love young people. I get so tickled at them because I remember. Lord, I remember. And that was one of the most wonderful times in my life. Ken, would you dismiss it?